Hey, y'all. My name is Emily. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from fear, guilt, and people-pleasing. Hey, y'all. Please pray with me. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to share your story of grace in my life. I pray for all of those who are listening that they would in some way be impacted by how you have transformed my life and that in some way would be encouraged in their walk with you. Thank you for Jesus. Without him, none of this would be possible. It's in his name we pray. Amen. From the outside looking in, my life growing up seemed pretty perfect. I'm from a small town in Louisiana, and as most small towns are, people knew everything about you. I was constantly making sure that what people thought of me was seen in a positive light for my family and myself. I became a Christian in middle school and understood that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, but my walk with Jesus was performance-based, not based on truly knowing him. I had a very happy childhood. I had two parents and a younger brother who loved me unconditionally. I was a good kid. We went to church every Sunday. I was an FCA leader in middle school and high school, was valedictorian of my high school class, and was one of the best basketball players in the state. Life was good, and I truly thought I had it all. Everything was picture perfect, at least according to the world's standards. As I look back now, I realize that I was still missing the most important thing I desperately needed, which was a true relationship with Jesus. Yes, I was an FCA leader and went to church every Sunday, and I believed that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, but I was not living out the faith. Looking back now, I'm not sure I ever truly had an intimate relationship with God. For me, checking the box every Sunday was about the extent of my relationship with Jesus. I rarely read the Bible, had a poor prayer life, and I wasn't trying to develop a more intimate relationship with the Lord. But because life was so good and I was excelling in so many areas, I figured I had just the right amount of Jesus that I needed. High school came and went, and I moved to Texas after I was offered a basketball scholarship to play at TCU. Growing up in high school, my parents were very strict. Curfew at 10, no boys at the house, zero alcohol. I was pretty sheltered, unlike most of my friends. Going to college was the first opportunity I had to make decisions on my own, and the decisions I made proved to be pretty costly. When I arrived in Fort Worth the summer after I graduated high school, I found every excuse not to find a church, the main excuse being that Sundays were usually my only off days from practice, and I wanted to use them to rest because of how difficult practices and traveling were during the season. The very beginning of my freshman year, I injured myself playing, which led me having to redshirt my freshman year. Because of this, I was not held as accountable during practice, and I did not have to travel with the team, which meant more free time to do what I wanted. This led to weekends meeting other friends and athletes, going to parties, and drinking alcohol heavily for the first time in my life. Those weekends led to some bad decisions my freshman year, including being sexually impure for the first time. I felt so much guilt and shame after this happened. I was angry with myself and couldn't believe that I had made that mistake. So many different emotions occurred after this, and I told myself it wouldn't happen again. But because I kept putting my securities in the hands of other people, I continued to spiral down a path the next few years that are what led me to recovery today. In college, my life consisted of being extremely disciplined during the season, but then binge eating, partying, and drinking excessively in the off season. I would wake up some mornings and not remember how I got home. I would stumble in the kitchen and just hope that my car was in one piece and that I made it home with all my belongings. I was finding any way to seek comfort in things other than God. My main means of comfort for the last couple years of college came through a teammate who I found myself in a relationship with. This was a relationship that was mentally, verbally, and at times physically abusive. It caused me to be angry, bitter, shameful, selfish, and extremely secretive. I was hiding this relationship from everyone other than my teammates because, to me, I was living in the worst sin humanly possible. The relationship was about as unhealthy as it came, and the worst part was I knew it was wrong. I lived a life of fear and anxiety most days. Trying to balance an unhealthy relationship while also trying to be a student athlete was hard. I had a lot of pressure from my coaches to perform, and I was honestly a little in over my head. Throughout this time, I was able to hide my emotions pretty well and still was very successful in school and athletics. But deep down, I was slowly dying inside. You never realize how draining a negative and sometimes abusive relationship can be until you're in one. At this time, God was not a part of my life at all. I knew all of these mistakes I was making were wrong. I turned into someone who I didn't even know myself. I used to be a happy, carefree girl who loved and served others. Now, I saw myself as a liar, sinner, manipulator, and someone who was unloved by God. When I would go home to Louisiana during the off season and attend church with my parents, I was filled with so much shame for all the mistakes I was continually making. I hated church. I would cry during worship songs because I longed for God. I knew I needed him to get out of my rut, but I didn't think he would take me back and accept me. I felt so unloved and unworthy. It was a really dark time for me. So college came and went. I graduated and had the opportunity to continue playing professionally overseas, but I felt God telling me that was not the path I needed to take. So I ended my career, ended my relationship, graduated, got a job in Dallas, and moved, hoping to leave all of my past behind me in Fort Worth. A coworker of mine, who is now one of my best friends, asked me to go with her to the porch for the first time in the summer of 2011. That is when I started attending Watermark on a weekly basis. I had never been to a church before where people, including the pastors and leaders, would actually talk about sinning and their struggles openly. In the church I grew up in, if you sinned, you wiped it under the table and never talked about it. This was one of the main reasons I didn't trust anyone, because my whole life I was never able to openly confess to anyone my sins without the fear of being judged. I always thought that I would be shunned, blamed, or deemed unworthy to even be in church. But to hear from these people that God calls us to confess our sins to others was comforting. It made me slowly start thinking that maybe I could be deemed worthy, even though I had such a terrible past. So even though I was hearing this great news about confession of sins and that Jesus loves sinners, I still continued to come to church with so much guilt and shame and was determined not to open up to anyone about my struggles. In the fall of 2011, I decided to go through GroupLink with my coworker as a way to get closer connected with other girls in the church and to make some new friends. If I'm being honest, I was hesitant about this too, simply because it took a lot for me to meet new people. I'm very introverted and didn't particularly care for making new friends. But I put my fears aside and we went through GroupLink. I got placed in a group of amazing women who I now consider my family. But when I started community group, I was still very hesitant to share anything with them. I remember the first night we met, we were supposed to go over our life map, which is basically a 10-minute snapshot of your life and how you got to Watermarking community group today. I gave them the gist of my life, all the surface level stuff, but really didn't share anything about my past struggles in college. I was convinced they wouldn't understand my struggles, so I kept them bottled up inside for over 2 years. Yes, 2 years. I really had a hard time trusting. At the end of 2013, we decided that our community group wanted to be more challenged and figured that Regen would be a great place to start fresh and really help us deepen our relationships with each other and with God. I came to Regen with walls completely up. I had made the decision before I even walked into groundwork that I was going to take these struggles of mine to the grave. I thought that they were something I could work out on my own with God and that no one needed to know about them. I said I would never tell anyone about my sexual partners, terrible mistakes I made when drinking, or about my abusive relationship with my teammate. People just wouldn't understand. In my head, I thought no one has ever gone through that here except for me. Well, let me tell you, God sure had a sense of humor that first night. One of our group leaders opened up about a past relationship struggle of hers, which was extremely similar to mine from college. To me, that completely opened my eyes to the fact that God was simply telling me, "Hey, Emily, I've got this. Go all in and trust me." So for the first time in my life, I felt like I wasn't alone. From that moment on, I slowly started to trust God through Regen. I prayed every day for God to knock down my walls that were filled with guilt and shame and to be open with my Regen group. Steps 1 through 3 were all such sweet reminders of God's love for me. Step 3 says, we decide to trust God with our lives and wills by accepting his grace through Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24 says, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. What a sweet reminder that this is a free gift given to us by God, and there's nothing to fear or be shameful of. As much as I was all in at this point, if I'm being completely honest, inventory was the step I was still dreading the most. I had so much built up anxiety and stress for this step because I feared rejection from my closest friends. They still knew nothing about my past. I continued to pray to God that He would remove all these fears and allow me to be 100% open and honest with my community group. When the time came to share my inventory, I broke down all my walls and confessed to them everything that I had been hiding for the last few years. The most amazing part of that day was they didn't hesitate to love me for 1 minute. They accepted me just as I was, and to this day, I will never forget how freeing that day was. I thank God every single day for placing these girls in my life who love me just as I am. They love me like Jesus loves me. After inventory, everything started to make sense. God was using me in ways I didn't even know were possible. And from that day on, I was more willing than ever to tell my story of grace. I even got baptized during Regen. I had been a believer for a while, but had never made that public profession of faith before, and I felt there was no better time than during Regen to do this. I truly felt like a different person, and I will never forget the day I was baptized right outside these walls in the pond. My community group even got in the water with me. It was one of the sweetest moments I've had in my life so far, and I will never forget that day. I finally felt free. We completed Regen at the end of 2014, and I truly felt like I did a complete 180 in my walk with God throughout the 12 steps. I met so many incredible women through our small group that were so encouraging to my own walk with Christ. Each of us came from different backgrounds and had different struggles, but the one common theme was still there. We all learned through the steps how much we desperately needed God's grace and how much He truly loves us. Before Regen, I felt that if I wasn't 100% perfect in my walk with God, I wasn't accepting of His grace. Now, I see that He loves me through my struggles and is constantly seeking to develop a deeper relationship with me. He was literally running after me, even at my lowest points. What a blessing that all the mistakes I have made were nailed to the cross. 2 Peter 3 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." I'm so thankful that I have finally, after many, many years of fighting it, trusted the Lord with my life. My past does not define me anymore. I know without a doubt that I have a Father who loves me unconditionally, and that He loves me even through my mess. So life after Regen. Let me first say this, I'm still not perfect. I understand that I need God's grace and forgiveness every single day. That's why it's so important to understand that finishing the Regen program is just the start of recovery. I have to wake up every morning and die to self. I pray every day to God that He would be put first in my life. There are so many things here in Dallas that constantly try to get in the way of my relationship with Him, and I pray daily that Jesus is at the center of my life. Since Regen, I've had a much more honest relationship with my community group. I feel that I have grown more open and honest with others about my faith and continue to grow in that strength to share with anyone I encounter. Leading in Regen was a huge step, and I'm also excited to be going to Haiti in January on a short-term disciple trip. If you would have asked me 2 years ago to predict where I would be right now, I would have laughed if you told me I would be leading at church and going on a mission trip. That just wasn't in the plans for me because I was too messed up. But my God is bigger than my plans, and He has more in store for me than I even had for myself. I'm no longer struck with guilt and shame every day because of my past. Now my past is just my past, and it's an opportunity to share with others how God kept pursuing me even during the lowest points of my life. My perspective on life is also different. I used to see myself as someone unworthy of being loved by Jesus. Now, I see that no matter my mistakes, God loves me anyway. My securities no longer come from titles, other people, relationships, alcohol, or accolades. Being first team all conference doesn't make me any better in God's eyes. I'm now learning to serve others and be an example of what experiencing God's grace looks like. Serving at Regen gives me even more of an opportunity to share my story with others and hopefully help people truly understand that they don't have to live a life of shame because of a particular sin. Jesus is bigger than any struggle. He can help you overcome anything. All you have to do is trust him. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So if this is your first time here, let me first say welcome. I can promise that nervous feeling you may have right now, I experienced as well. The main word of advice I can give is to just keep coming. There were days I dreaded Monday nights more than anything, but I came anyway. I didn't know at the time what God was trying to do with my life, but I surrendered all of those worries to him and continued to come even when I doubted. God has a unique plan for each of our lives. Sometimes it can feel like you have been struggling forever, but don't give up hope. God is for us. He is not against us. He wants to give us a hope and a future, and that comes through surrendering everything to him. The world had my heart for many years, and I felt like I was so scarred and broken. I have learned that there is a treasure that lies within my scars. I encourage you to let your scars turn your mess into a message. Let your scars tell your story. Everything we have done has been paid for by Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice when he died on the cross for our sins. Sin has been defeated, and we can be victorious through Jesus. Don't let whatever is going on in your life now or what you did in the past influence what you can do in the future. Jesus paid it all, and we can live freely because of his ultimate sacrifice. So just when you think you can't go any further, push a little harder and trust a little more. Jesus will meet you right where you are. All we have to do is call out for him and trust him. I'm so glad I decided to stop fighting my own battles and instead go to battle with Jesus. I pray that he would help you do the same and that you would begin to trust him with your life. He can fix any situation, no matter how big or small. I am a living testimony of that. Thank you.